Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to begin our week by reflecting upon your holy word as a community, as the body of Christ. We give you praise for this opportunity today, Lord. Fill us with your spirit. Let these words that I preach indeed not be my own, but moved and empowered by your spirit. And let all of our hearts, including my own, hear the message that you have today. In Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, did you guys know that a door or gate tells a great deal about the building of which it is a part of? In fact, it tells so much that architects spend a great deal of time figuring out, along with the wishes of the who's ever paying them to build the building, to figure out what kind of door they want to put on their building because it sends a message. So for years, for decades, banks, for example, had really thick wooden doors with no windows because they wanted to send the message that if you put your money there, it would be safe and secure. And then later on, things changed and they wanted to send the message that they were more welcoming for people to come in and to be transparent. And so then they replaced the thick wooden doors with no windows to doors with full windows in order to send a new message. And so in John chapter 10, verse 7, Jesus says that I am the gate for the sheep. And so, what message is Jesus trying to send by calling himself a gate? What is the messages that he's sending to his readers in the Gospel of John? Well, one purpose is that the sheep gate was supposed to be about deliverance. In other words, an important theme in our gospel today, as you notice it mentioned a few times, is that there's thieves and robbers, and in a literal sense, wolves, right? Maybe that are trying to break in to steal the sheep or to kill the sheep. And so Jesus is literally, by calling himself the gate, a deliverer. What I mean is this: during pasturing season, so you obviously have a farm, you have the barn, you have the place where the sheep usually are, their pasture, they come in at night, etc. But oftentimes, these shepherds were, when they would pasture their sheep, they would go out and they would stay out for days. And when they did that, they had to build their own makeshift sheep pen. And there's a lot of scholars that believe, a lot of studies that point to, when they were out like that, these sheep pens didn't have a physical gate. The shepherd himself was the gate, and he laid across the entrance of the sheep pen at night to deliver the sheep, to protect the sheep, to save the sheep from wolves or whoever might come to try to steal, rob, or kill them. And so I think if you connect this with a verse that wasn't in your reading that I read at the last, that Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep, it's a really powerful message that Jesus is trying to send of deliverance. He's literally laying on the ground as the gate. He's laying down his life, if you will. Because if those wolves come, he's putting himself directly in harm's way, that they're going to come and try to deal with him, kill him, so that they can get to the sheep. So he's the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. He becomes, literally becomes, the gate. You know, I think when you think about it that way, there's eternal undertones in today's gospel. Jesus is talking about, he's using a parable again, but it's pointing us to think about not only the present, but also the future, in which Jesus is literally the heavenly gate that opens the door for us in order to go to go to heaven. So Jesus is a gate in that eternal sense as well. You know, a big theme in the Gospel of John we mentioned last week was that Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God who reveals God the Father. That's a big theme throughout the Gospel of John. Jesus Christ is the incarnate Son of God who reveals God the Father. So when he calls himself the gate, you know, gates give access to something. And so Jesus is giving access to God the Father. Through Jesus, the incarnate Son, we even see God in flesh. And that's a big theme too. If you've seen me, Jesus says, you've seen the Father. And so in Jesus Christ, another message of the gate is that we are invited to meet the living God. The barriers are lifted and opened, and God is revealed. Will Willimon, a pastor at Duke Chapel, said that this is who Christians are. We are people who think that of all the possible ways that one might get to God, the best way, the surest way, the only way is Jesus. In this Jew from Nazareth, who lived briefly, died violently, and rose unexpectedly, we have the surest way to see God. We go to our first verse from our gospel today. It says, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. And so the gate image also reminds us that no one's going to fool God, right? You can't crawl in to the kingdom some, secretive, deceptive way. And you can't fool God, right? And so we must enter legitimately. And Jesus says he is the legitimate way to approach the Father, to approach the living God. You know, I think the way to think about this is not to think of it in a prideful way. Not to think of it as, well, as Christians, we're the ones, you know, that get to come in and these other people are left out. Instead, I encourage you to think of it in a humble way. And that is, again, to remember that it's God that does everything, right? That our merit does not open the gate for us to go into the Father. Only the legitimate way, the only way, is Jesus. So when we think about our merits or our works to try that opens that gate, in a way we're kind of being like one of these robbers, because it's a deceptive way to try to get into the kingdom. So everything directs back to Jesus, the one who is the gate and who opens that gate for us, and he is the legitimate way. And then, one time I had somebody say something that was nice to me, but then I thought about it and I was like, that's not true. But they said all pastors go to heaven. And I, and that was a nice thing to say, but it's not true, because in what they're implying is that because I'm a pastor, in other words, because of the works I do, then I'm going to go to heaven someday. And that's not how it works. It doesn't matter my title, my office. It's about the blood of Jesus Christ who died for us. And so I encourage you to think about the gate, besides the many ways we talked already, deliverer and access, also to think about the gate as an invitation of graciousness, that it's God's grace that opens that gate. And Jesus is literally, grace embodied in the gate who opens for us. You guys know well the passage of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if you invite me in, I will come in and fellowship with you, and you with me. And this isn't the picture here, but you've seen this picture many times of Jesus knocking at the door. So I'm subtly changing just a little bit here today and moving away from Jesus as the gate to Jesus as the good shepherd who wants to have this relationship with us, who wants to invite us in. And by the way, this gate or door that's mentioned in Revelation 3:20 is the same Greek word as in today's gospel when Jesus says, "I am the gate." And so, you know, in 10:10 it says, "I have come to give you life and to give you life to the full." And the way we live life to the full is through fellowship with Jesus Christ and in the body of Christ, the shepherd and the sheep together. You know, I had a friend who called me not too long ago and says, "I just miss church so much." You know, and so when we aren't in fellowship with the shepherd and the sheep, we miss that. That's the way God's created us. He's created us to yearn for Him. And to want Him and to be in fellowship with Him. And that's part of living life to the full. And, you know, in the upper room is a devotional I read. It's very similar to our daily bread that we have. And I read a story this week about someone who left home at 15. His parents didn't support him in what he was doing. And he wanted to pursue a career as a professor, and his grandmother, at the time he left, gave him tons of copies of the Spanish version of Upper Room, and he read those, and he became, through that and joining a church, he became a Christian and gave his life to Christ. And as time went on, you know, during his years, during his doctorate, he kind of wandered away from God for a bit. And like I said with my friend, he missed God, and he missed the shepherd, the good shepherd, and the sheep. And he pulled out those old copies of the Upper Room, and he read them again. And the words rang true again. And he started going to church again, and he said, "My life is complete now." And so we see the power of God's word. We see the power of study. We see the power of a gift from, you know, a divine gift from a grandmother to a grandson in these devotionals. And we see how God is at work to continually go after the sheep that go astray and that feel astray from God, and to bring them back. And Christ, the good shepherd, used those upper rooms to do that, even though it was many years later. Used it twice to bring that young man back. And so I think one of the goals of us as sheep is to hear the voice of the good shepherd. To hear him and to follow him. You know, when there's a bunch of sheep from different flocks that are in the same pasture and they all find the water source, and you can't tell from looking which one is which, as soon as the shepherd speaks, they sort themselves, because all those sheep that are in that flock and devoted to that shepherd go to him. You don't have to go through and figure out, like you might with cows, which one's which. Instead, the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. It says that in John 10:4. And then also, by extension, if a stranger walks through there, they run away. Or if he speaks, they run away, because they don't know that voice. And so I think that's a powerful image for us as we seek to know the voice of our shepherd. There's tons of voices in our culture, in our world, that compete for our attention. And we want to, as his sheep, be, you know, hearing the voice and following the voice of our shepherd. You guys know the practice as well: daily prayer, scripture study, a daily devotion, coming to worship, being fed in that way. All those are ways in which we bend our lives to the will of God and learn more about his voice, right? I was recently reading in my Christianity Today, which you guys get for me. It's a Christian magazine. And in that, they had a story studies they've done on devotions. And they say one of the things happened over time is that the majority of Christians just do a morning devotion. They just read their morning devotional. They look up the scripture that's in there, which is great, right? But it might just be one verse or a short passage. And so what's happened over time is that many Christians don't know scripture in a really deep way. They're going to those devotions, they're reading them, which is great, but they're really reading them just to inform on what God has to say to them that day. And God does work that way. And he works through that, and that's a powerful thing. He's done that so many times for me, and I'm thankful for that treasure and for that guidance. But what this article is basically saying was that since we don't do deeper Bible studies that are longer and more meatier, that we don't pick up on the rhythms of Scripture, and then we don't know the big things that God is trying to say to his flock again and again and again by studying, you know, larger passages. And they said one of the ways to do that is to come together for fellowship and to study the Bible together. That's one way it shows that we pick up on these deeper themes together as his sheep. And, you know, one time I was in a bus riding to a meet. This was over 20 years ago. And I looked out and it was a sheep pasture. It was a pasture where the sheep were, and there were dirt roads that they had worn down with their meanderings. And three of them were heading up a hill, and they were just following along together and going up that hill. And I thought, you know, that's a really good image of the fellowship that God calls us to. You know, sheep are congregational, gregarious animals. That root Greg, G-R-E-G, relates to group and congregation. You know, that Greg in there, and gregarious, loving others, loving the company of others. And sheep are like that. And Jesus, you know, in this metaphor, he's the shepherd and we are the sheep, and we should be together as the flock. And if this study is right, he can take us to a deeper understanding of his eternal word through this fellowship and through that study. And so I've thrown a lot at you this morning in the name of the gate that Jesus uses for himself. He calls upon and remembers deliverance, that he is the one who lays down his life for the sheep, literally across the sheep pen for us. That he is the one that offers access to the living God. That he shows us and reveals the Father. We have access to the living God through him both now in our life and then someday, literally going into the presence of God because of Jesus, the gate. And then he is the one who graciously invites us to enter into a deep relationship with him and a fellowship with him in the body and with him. And then finally, the good shepherd speaks to us. And we as his sheep have to be about the disciplines, be about the bending of our lives in order to hear the messages that he has as the gate and as the good shepherd. You know, I think these messages are ones that are really powerful, not only to know that this is what Jesus stands for, right? This is what he represents, like those doors of the bank told something about the bank. Just like these images and these messages tell something about Jesus, these messages are the same ones that others need to hear, that Jesus is the deliverer, that he shows your way to God, and that you can have life to the full in him.